Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kaf Chesed and Aleph tells us that if a person eats matzah at a time when he was a shota is not obligated to do mitzvahs, and then later on that evening he feels better, and now he becomes a bar da'as, so the Gemara says that he did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, he's required to eat the matzah again. The Gemara speaks about the itim chalav itim shaita. So there is a question, why exactly that halacha should be so? Why is it that if he ate a matzah at the time of being a shaita, why does that not register? Why does that not count as a mitzvah? So the Sheges Aryeh, in his Perush of Turi Evan, suggests two different ways of understanding this halacha. So one way of understanding the halacha is that when a person is a shaita, so he doesn't really have in mind anything. I mean, he's a la bar das, nebuch. He's a la bar das, so even if he's thinking a little bit about something, that doesn't really register. Whatever das he has is not really registering properly. And therefore, he's doing a ma'isa mitzvah without understanding what he's doing. That's the reason why the mitzvah doesn't count. But then the Shaila says, no, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat is not because he's a la bar das. The reason is, because he's a la bar das, therefore he's putter from mitzvahs, and a mitzvah that's done at a time when you're putter from mitzvahs doesn't register. That's a little bit of a different nuance as to how to understand that halacha. So according to the first understanding, it's something that is unique to the p'tur of la bar das. If you would have another individual who's potter for some other technical reason from a mitzvah, so then this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah would not apply. According to the second understanding of the Sheges Aryeh, that it's not the la bar das that's the engine driving this halacha, because if it was two steps removed, because it's la bar das, therefore he's potter, anyone who does a mitzvah b'shas p'tur doesn't register. So l'chap and afkamina ladina, between the two understandings of the Sheges Aryeh, what if you have an individual who is potter from a mitzvah, but not because he's la bardas. He's very, very bardas. He knows exactly what's going on. He's a very, very, very well thought out person. The only thing is, there is some kind of a reason here why he's potter. So would we plug in this Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah or not? So most of the poskim assume that the second pshat is the correct pshat. Even Shagasa himself is noted that that's probably the more accurate pshat, that there is a din klali, there is a general din, that mitzvahs that are done b'shas p'tur don't register. We spoke a little bit about this earlier on in the year, or we spoke about this actually many times during the course of the year, when we spoke about the idea of being mitzi somebody in a mitzvah. In order for one person to be mitzi somebody else in a mitzvah, so the mitzi has to be a mechuyav bedavar. We saw this so many times. These explicit mishnayos, who remember the chazara, who remembers the different mishnayos that point out this idea, that in order to be mitzvah, somebody in a mitzvah, you have to be a mechuyav bedavar. We had a mitzvah, we had a mission Rosh Hashanah about Tekiyah Shofar, then we had a mission Sukkah about Kriyas Hallel, then we had a mission Maseches Megillah about Kriyas Megillah. Then we had even an extension of that principle, that even if you have two people, one person who is chayev, and the other person is also chayev, but the first person is only chayev midirabbanan, so the Mishnayos don't talk about that. The Mishnayos are talking about someone who's potter legamrei. The Gemara adds on in Brachas Daf Chaf that even if one is chayiv in the mitzvah, but the chayiv is, albeit only a chayiv mit rabbanon, since the love of deraisa, the not a mechuyav bedavar, that's called a potam in a davar, trying to be motzi, a mechuyav bedavar. So that principle is a yesoda yesodos in terms of being motzi people in mitzvahs. If you remember, we pointed out probably several times this year that unlike the Baal HaMor, who claims that maybe that's only a chumah mit rabbanon, maybe min haTorah somehow I can be motzi somebody else, even if I'm not chayiv, it would be very, very hard to understand that. Like, why in the world did the Chabad make that takanas of Chabad? I understand why Chazal said not to move Muktzah, and I understand what they had against Bishalachim, and I understand why we light Neres Chanukah. But why in the world should the rabbis sit around the Lishkas HaGazas one day, nothing better to do than to say, oh my goodness, let's make up a new din called Mechuyav Bedavar? Like, why? Just to give us what to talk about this year? Otherwise, we would have nothing to talk about. So, very, very strange. That's what the Ramban says against the Baal HaMor. He doesn't know what the Baal HaMor means. He said, of course, this is a dim in HaTorah. They have to be a mechuyav bedavar to mighty somebody else. So the Chari, this Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the way the Sheges Aryeh is taking it, in the second shot, is ke'ein that just as you have to be a mechuyav bedavar to be mighty somebody else, you have to be a mechuyav bedavar to be mighty yourself also. If I do a mitzvah b'shas p'tur, so a mitzvah done b'p'tur doesn't register. That's not called a mitzvah. So the same way that if a woman blows shofar for me, that's not kiyah shofar shel mitzvah. So too, if I blow shofar, but I'm not chayiv, because a person's a shaita, not the kei, is a shaita at the time, when he feels better an hour later, he has to blow over again. But when he eats matzah, so that's not called an achilas matzah shel mitzvah. You get the calories for eating the matzah, but that's not called a mitzvah from Erev Teichlei Matzos. So you can't fulfill your obligation of doing a mitzvah unless you did a mitzvah. If you're not mitzvah b'davar, does nishkei mitzvah. So lechora, those two halachas are linked to one another. And just as the Ramban says that the din of being maitzi somebody else is clearly a din in Torah, we do not understand that balamor. So too the din that you have to be a mechuyah b'davar to be maitzi yourself is also clearly a din in Torah. So we're pretty comfortable with this Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches. Although the example the Gemara gives is the Chilas Matzah, it probably should spill over to other mitzvahs, probably to all mitzvahs as well. So in case anyone's wondering what this has to do with the Mamre Kamos, relax, it's getting there, it's getting there. We put this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Mamre Kamos, but we're going out of order a little bit. Mishalek Hasidran does impossible, it's not a mezuzah tefillin, so we're going to go a little bit out of order. Hang in there, basically. So this halacha that we've developed following the second understanding of the Shegesai, the Pashtus HaSugya, that you have to be a mechuy bedaver in order to be meitzi yourself, one has to further fine-tune this. How do we qualify somebody as being a mechuy bedaver? What if I'm basically chayv in mitzvahs, but right now I have a particular p'tor right now? Right now, there's almost something tangential which is preventing me from being obligated in mitzvahs. Is that called a gavra mechuy bedaver? Or is that considered to be like the equivalent of a shaita? Just as a shaita, chay shayt v'katan, are not chayv in mitzvahs, so too, if for whatever reason I'm not chayav to do this mitzvah, I'm labeled as a potter min hadavar. What would that mean practically? So what would the din be in the following situation? Let's say a person sits down to the Seder, is about to begin Kaddish Ruchas, Kaddish Yachas, and he has some big, big mitzvah that comes his way, so he starts to do that mitzvah. And again, Kabbalah looks wonderful, he's doing his mitzvah, it's 9 o'clock at night, it's 10 o'clock at night, it's 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, and he's still doing the mitzvah. So what is the din? Is he mechuyev to stop doing the mitzvah and to make a seder? What's the answer? Clearly not. That's the.
We spoke about this with the meshachah. Someone
that
did the meshachah
is talking about. Yeah, no, it's close, but not exactly. So it's related. It's a related topic. So comes the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, and the Mishnah Maseches Sukkah tell us that there's a principle called Osek b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah. If I am involved in doing one mitzvah, I am exempt from doing any other mitzvah that comes my way. How do I know that? So the Gemara derives from Sukkim. It says, "B'shivtcha v'isecha v'lechtecha v'derech." Then you say Kriyishma. You're required to say Kriyishma v'lechtecha v'derech. So the Gemara says that the phrase of v'lechtecha v'derech has the connotation, I'm walking on the way, v'lechtecha didach, my own derech, I'm doing my own personal things, I'm involved in the Dovah Shavashus. Let's say it happens to be, I don't know, it's at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm taking a little spatzir, I gotta say Kriyishma, I gotta stop my fuel to say Kriyishma. But what if I'm involved in a very, very important Lech Techa V'derech? It's not Lech Techa, it's Lech HaShemayim. I'm in the middle of going to do a tremendous mitzvah, so then the Gemara derives from this pasuk that I'm not mechuyev to stop the first mitzvah, to do the second mitzvah. But this is the source of the principle called Eisik B'mitzvah Part of the Mitzvah. So this din applies to just about all mitzvahs. So let's say a person is 10 o'clock at night, he's involved in some very, very important mitzvah. So he doesn't have to stop to do the mitzvah in order to eat the matzah. Let's say he goes ahead and he does it. He's potter. We talk, I gave him a psach, he knocks on the rabbi's door, he says, "Rabbi, I'm in the middle of some really, really big mitzvah right now. Should I eat the matzah?" The rabbi says, "No, you're not mechuyev to b'shiv chav v'sech lev chavadech, you're not mechuyev to eat matzah." The guy goes ahead and he eats matzah anyway, even though the halacha declares that he's potter. So as he's doing mitzvah one, he deliberately goes ahead and eats the matzah also. And now, an hour later, mitzvah one is over, and it's still 11:30 at night. It's not yet chatzos. So he wants to know, knocks on the rabbi's door again, and he wants to know, what's the din? Do I have to eat matzah a second time around? What's the shaila? When I ate the matzah the first time, I was potter bin mitzvah because of lech techa v'derech, Isaac mitzvah potter bin mitzvah. So maybe we should argue that just as the person who was a shaita, he was potter from the mitzvahs, so the matzah that he ate doesn't register. So too, the person who ate matzah at a time when he was potter because of Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah, it doesn't register either. Or maybe one can be mechalik between the two. Maybe one could argue that Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah is not as drastic a p'tur as a shaita. A shaita is potter as a gavra, is mufka for the gavra from the mitzvah. So when a shaita does a mitzvah, it doesn't qualify as a davar shel mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't exempt him when he subsequently becomes no longer a shaita. And Isaac b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah means that there's some almost like artificial, like some secondary, some tangential p'tur that right now, right here and now, happens to be present, But that doesn't mafkia from him being a gavra b'chui b'dover. He's still called a gavra b'chui b'dover, albeit, if you want to say a really good alum de shavur, he's a b'chui b'dover as a p'tor. Unlike a shayt is not a b'chui b'dover altogether. A Isaac of mitzvah is a b'chui b'dover mitzad atzmai, but right now he has a zayt, he has a tangential p'tor that's chal on him. So that type of a p'tor maybe would not be enough to be mafkia the actual being a shayt mitzvah. So what's the dip? What should the halacha be? So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach talks about the Shaila. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks it's a milsa de pshita ad ba'oid, that the person would be yetzid in mitzvah. He thinks that the comparison between the shaita, the din in the shaita, that's the din in Rosh Hashanah Kavches. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't assume, like the Shagas Aryeh's first shot. If you hold like the Shagas Aryeh's first shot, then the whole discussion here is a moot discussion. But even though Mishnah Berurah is assuming as a Deva Pashat that if you do a mitzvah when you're potter, it doesn't register, Mishnah Berurah writes, it seems to him as a milsa pshita that there is a difference between the two pturim. That one is a ptur in terms of the etzem agavra, and one is something which is tangential. The only thing is, the Mishnah Berurah is not 100% sure whether we can tell this guy with a straight face to say mitzivanu. When the guy's eating the matzah at a time when the halacha dictates that he's potter, can he say with a straight face that shekid yishalim mitzvah yisevet tzivanu? So even though he's going to be yetzid the mitzvah, Mishnah Berurah is nervous, maybe the lashon with tzivanu would not be accurate. So the emphasis is a very, very difficult Mishnah Berurah, because l'chora, we Ashkenazim, who have women recite brachas on mitzvahs that they're not mechoyobosin, and we're okay with that. Either we're okay with that because, even though they're not nischaivu, but it's still called the kima mitzvah, or as the Ran says that, because Vitzivanu is a Lashon Rabim, so it's going on Klal Yisrael, Shekidishanu, Vitzivanu. So why can't we borrow that same idea to a person who is potter from a mitzvah because of Isaac mitzvah potter from a mitzvah? So even if the Mishnah Berurah is, once the Mishnah Berurah is convinced that he's Yetzir the mitzvah, if you would hold he's not Yetzir the mitzvah, you can't make a bracha if you're not Yetzir. But once the Mishnah Berurah has no qualms about saying that he's Yetzir the mitzvah, there's no need to eat the matzah again, even mitzvah safek. Once the Mishnah Berurah is 100% convinced that he's Yetzir the mitzvah, why is he hemming and hawing about letting him recite the bracha? L'chara, the reciting of the bracha for the Yetzir the mitzvah shouldn't be any less than a woman who recites the bracha. That's just a tzarech ir on the Mishnah Berurah.
Could not say it's like the case of bracha on Bedika in like 2 weeks before, like the Ravaz case yesterday, where it's like an unusual time to do the mitzvah?
I don't know. Unusual time to do a mitzvah, let's say, you know, some of that. I wouldn't call that an unusual time to do the mitzvah. I don't think so.
I don't really get, if we're Oseg B'mitzvah, Pater B'mitzvah, that means that I shouldn't stop doing this mitzvah to do another one, but once I stop it...
Okay. We got a little work to do. Okay, hang in there, we got a little work to do. So again, we're not exactly sure what the Mishnah Berurah, why he was hasis a little bit, why he's hesitant a little bit in order to let you recite a bracha. But I call upon him, one thing the Mishnah Berurah is crystal clear that you are yaitzi the mitzvah. So the emphasis is, notwithstanding that which the Mishnah Berurah assumed to be a deva pashut, the pashut that the varim is that it's actually a machlekes rishonim. It's actually a major machlekes rishonim, whether that assumption of the Mishnah Berurah is correct. And that machlekes really has its roots back in the sugya of Isaac mitzvah patur and a mitzvah. You have to understand a little bit about the Torah of Isaac mitzvah patur and a mitzvah in order to understand whether this Pesach of Mishnah Berurah is correct or not. So there's a famous question that all the Rishayim are bothered with. The Tosfos asks this kasha, the Rani asks this kasha, about this institution of Isaac mitzvah patur and a mitzvah can potentially have very, very far-reaching conclusions. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kamma that there is a machlokes amarayim when a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam or whether it's a shomer socher. What exactly does that mean? So when I find the lost object, so there's a mitzvah, shev teshuv lechicha. Not only is there a mitzvah satayra to pick it up to try to do a shomer aveda, but once I pick it up, I become a shomer on that object. And if something subsequently happens to that object, I'm going to be chayiv l'shalem b'tarei shomer. So there are really two parts of a shomer aveda. There's the mitzvah satayra, and then there's the shibur in terms of a mamonis. Once I go ahead and I do what I'm supposed to do, if I don't do anything, I don't pick it up, I just walk away, and I violated the mitzvah of Shavuot Aveda. I violated the Sucha L'Salem. But I'm not, you can't take me to a Din Torah. So if I see your item walking around the streets, I know it's yours, and you want Messiah of it, and I walk by and I don't do anything, so that's a bitl ha-mitzvah, but you can't take me to a Din Torah for that. The minute that I pick it up, I become nischayev in dinei mamonis b'teres ha-shomer. What kind of a shomer am I? So there was a machlekes Rabbi and Rav Yosef. So Rabbi said, I'm only a shomer chinam, because I'm not getting paid as a shomer chinam, so I have very, very limited achrayas. Those who are learning hamafke these days, daf yomi. So those without learning it should remember Parshat Mishpatim. Should remember when you learned it back in 7th grade. So the Shem Echinim is very, very limited in terms of Zacharias, that he only has to pay for Pshia. Masha Ein Kane, if I'm a Shem Esochar, then my Chiyuvim are heightened up a little bit. I have to pay for Geneva and Aveda as well. So Rabbah says, I'm only a Shem Echinim because I'm not getting paid. And Rabbi Yosef is Mechadish that I'm considered to be a Shem Esochar. Why am I Shem Esochar? The Gemara says, the reason why I'm Shem Esochar is I am getting paid. How am I getting paid? What am I getting paid for? That if an Oni will knock on my door and ask me for some tzedakah, I have a right not to answer the door. Normally, if somebody comes and asks me for tzedakah, I have a chiyam in a Torah, pasach tifkas yokah, do the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Here, if an Oni asks me for tzedakah, I'm not mechuyev to, because Isaac Mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, I'm busy with the Aveda right now. I'm taking care of the Aveda, I'm feeding the animal, I'm shaking out the towels, I'm doing something, I'm helping out with the Aveda right now. Therefore, I am I'm part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Just as an aside, it's a tremendous chiddush that Rabbi Yosef is saying that I'm part of the mitzvah of tzedakah because there are lavim involved in the mitzvah of tzedakah. If you don't give tzedakah, that's a violation of los amitzas levavcha v'sikvotas yakcha. So how could I be part of lav? Isik mitzvah. Let's say I'm doing a mitzvah right now, so I'm allowed to eat treif, but I'm doing a mitzvah. So I'm allowed to speak lashonar. Now is a good time to get all that juicy lashonar because I'm doing a mitzvah now. Isik mitzvah is part of a mitzvah. Isik mitzvah is not part of lavim. So how could the Gemara say that when I'm taking care of the Aveda, I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm potter from giving tzedakah? Typically, there's a lav, there are two lavim not to give tzedakah. So Rabbi Chanan writes that obviously what the Gemara understood was is that the lavim don't stand on their own. The lavim are there, l'chazik as an essay. It means basically tzedakah is a mitzvah essay. Then the Torah says, and by the way, to make you take this mitzvah essay, some people don't take mitzvah essay so seriously, so to make you take the mitzvah essay a little bit more seriously, the Torah throws in, slaps you a couple of lavim also. But the lavim don't exist on their own. The lavim only there if and when we paskin that yechayiv in the mitzvah essay. So once we paskin eisik mitzvah, part of the mitzvah is the pointer for the mitzvah essay, the mail of the lavim don't apply to you. So the bottom line is that there's a din of eisik mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. And therefore, Rav Yosef understood that that's considered to be enough to make you into a Shem Yisrachah. Because I'm saving a few dollars, so my doing a Shem Aveda is putting a few pennies into my pocket. To be a Shem Yisrachah, you don't have to be actively paid. As long as I'm preventing my being a Shem, is preventing me from losing a few dollars, so my bank account is going to be at a higher point than it would have been otherwise, that's also called the Shem Yisrachah. Rabbah also agrees fundamentally to that, just that Rabbah holds, that's a Milsad Lo Shechicha, that it's so unlikely that an Ani is going to knock on the door right at that moment, so therefore Rabbah didn't think that's enough to qualify as an Atila Schar, to heighten you up, to elevate you to the status of Shem Yisrachah. But the Ikaron, everybody agrees that there's a principle of Vaisi Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. Everyone agrees that Kol Zman that I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't have to give tzedakah, I don't have to do any mitzvah essay for that matter. So it's on that sugya that the Rishon Bab the question that, wait a second, why do I ever have to do mitzvahs? Why do I ever have to give tzedakah? I'm part of all mitzvahs, you know why? I'm doing a mitzvah right now. What mitzvah am I doing? I'm wearing tzitzis right now. I'm not going to ask for show of hands who's wearing tzitzis, I assume. Except the Balamor didn't wear tzitzis, we know, but otherwise everyone else did. The Balamor held that pasuk like the one tana that tcheles is ma'akev. So machlekes atenoy, machlekes rishayim. So Rub Drub Rishayim held tcheles is not ma'akev. That's how we paskin. And the Balamor held nope, we paskin like the other tana. So the Ramban writes, the Ramban never saw the Balamor, lived after him. The Ramban writes that we've heard Edus, the people who knew the Balamor, that he never wore tzitzis in his life. He never wore talis katan, never wore talis gadol, never wore tzitzis. Because he wouldn't put himself a beged on. To put a beged on and then to put white strings on, you're bavatlas a mitzvah. If you don't wear beged, so you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah tzitzis. So to put on a beged and then not fulfill the mitzvah properly is a bitul a mitzvah. So the Balamor taka never wore tzitzis. We used to always say that, you know, every once in a while you see these kids, you know, running around with that tzitzis on, so they're not so bad. They're like the Balamor. He also wrote Pirushim and Shas at the age of 17. They're like the Shiva's Balamor. Okay, back to our story. So I'm wearing tzitzis right now. So if a guy comes and knocks at my door tonight for tzedakah, I should say, I don't have to give you money. I'm maybe tonight, maybe you have to get lie 11. A guy knocks at my door at 6 o'clock today, and he asks for tzedakah. I'm potter. Can you imagine if I would say that to Mishulach? He said, you can't knock on my door, I'm wearing tzitzis. So somehow it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like we're potter for all mitzvahs. I never have to say, it's a great idea. I get up in the morning, put my tzitzis on, and then I don't have to say kriyash, I don't have to daven, don't have to do anything. So what's wrong with that cheshbon? What's wrong with that question? So there's a major machlekes Taisus and the Ran. What is wrong with that question? So the Ran writes that it's not a right that Isaac b'mitzvah is potter from all mitzvah Torah, no matter what, provided that you're an Isaac b'mitzvah. Chazal did not use the phrase, says the Rabbi, of Mekayim Mitzvah. There is no klal called Mekayim Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. The phrase that Chazal coined was Isaac B'Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. The nuance of an Isaac is different than the description of a Mekayim. Mekayim is Meshev Al Tasa. Mekayim is, I put the tzitzis on 3 hours ago, and I'm having this ongoing mitzvah of tzitzis. I'm being Mekayim as a tzitzis, but I'm not being Isaac B'tzitzis. Isaac B'tzitzis means, and I'm taking the baguette out of the drawer, and I'm checking my tzitzis, I'm putting it on, and throw it over my head. That's called an Isaac B'mitzvah. So Taka, if I'm putting on my talus right now, and an Ani asks for tzedakah, I don't have to give it to him. But if the talus is already on, and I'm wearing it 3 hours later, that's not an Isaac, that's a Mekayim as a mitzvah. That's the reason why Isaac B'mitzvah, Pater Mitzvah doesn't apply for Ruba to Ruba the time. The fact that you're merely wearing tzitzis already, or wearing tefillin already, that's not called an Isaac B'mitzvah. So the Ran has a little bit of problems with this pshat. But the Ran argues that lule that you are Isaac B'mitzvah, so then you're Pater Legamrei, and the Ran says, even if Epshel Akayim Shneim, even if I'm able to accomplish both mitzvahs, I'm still Pater. There's no difference whether I can apply both, can't do both. Says the Ran, there's only one word that triggers this Ptur, and that is Isaac. Calls by the Isaac of Mitzvah 1, there is no need to do Mitzvah 2. So says the Ran, if that's the case, we have to read carefully a Gemara that appears in the second parak of Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara is discussing, if a person got married, a couple got married before Sukkot, and now they're celebrating Sheva Brachas on the Yom of Sukkot. To get married on Sukkot, they're not allowed in Rav and Sukkot, but they got married from before Sukkot. So now it's the third day of Sheva Brachas, and the Mishnah tells, the Gemara tells us, that Chasid Mishra Shvinan Apotim in HaSukkah, that they don't have to have the celebration of the Sheva Brachas in the Sukkah, they can go into the house. Why is that? So the Gemara explains, because Isaac B'mitzvah, Apotim in Mitzvah. All the people are coming to him with Samech the Chasun, so that's called Isaac B'mitzvah, Apotim in Mitzvah, so they don't have to sit in the Sukkah, they can eat in the house, and dance and sing and celebrate in the house, but they're not obligated to do that in the Sukkah. It has to be a Simchas Chasun Mekala, assuming that the Mesameach Chasid Mekala is a mitzvah. If a person does it in the right spirit, that's a mitzvah. If a person, let's say, decides that he's going to roast the chasid, that's not a mitzvah, that's an avera. So he loses chek and old habam. So that's not even shayla. That's for sure also. So we don't have to talk about that. They asked me to give a shiur about offer for roasting again. So for two reasons. Two reasons I said no. First of all, I gave the shiur already. So it's all there already. Everybody's listening to what I told. Second of all, they don't ask me to get up and give a shiur about why Ritzich is also. I should get up and give a whole shiur, a whole sikhas musa, why you're not allowed to kill somebody. Apostle Chumash, Los Yirtzach. The Gemara says, when you're Ma'al Brechavei Rechavei Rabim, that's the equivalent of Los Yirtzach. So when you cause terrible tzar to parents, so parents have come to me and cried over this phenomena, this rishus that has seeped into some otherwise people who claim to be B'nai Torah. So this terrible avla, that's mind-boggling. So that's not a mitzvah. That's a eluch avera gedolah mizuf. So you don't say oisik be'avera potter ben mitzvahs. But if a person is celebrating properly, they're doing the proper simchas chos v'kala, the dancing, the singing, the b'mishabeach, Chazal said you have to say by akala kalanov v'chasuda. Chazal misakin, you have to dance ketz brachli akala kalanov v'chasuda. So it's not even the most tzanua thing to say a little bit. You know, you have to like shake when you say kalanov v'chasuda. You say the kala looks nice. But you have to say it because the chassan has to hear kalam and chassan. You don't have to elaborate upon it, but the have to say the words kalam and chassuda. So you see that Chazal was so makbid, they wanted to bring simcha to the kalam, they wanted to bring simcha to the chassan. The way to bring simcha to somebody is to be mishabeach them, not to speak about their gnai. That's bring simcha to you, but that doesn't bring simcha to the chassan and kala. So that's you have to be very, very careful about that. Anyway, again, that was just an aside. Then I could tell them when they hakmei to give the chassan. I gave it ready. I was getting ready to roast them. What?
Keep it in.
Okay. Roasting is also. The only thing you're allowed to roast is corn paste. Nothing else. Okay. Halazek kulotzli. So back to that story. So the Gemara says that when they're involved in Simchas Chasam Mekala, so they're potter from the mitzvah of Sukkah. So the Gemara asks a funny kasha. The Gemara asks in Sukkah, in the second parak, why don't we bring the entire Simcha into the Sukkah? Instead of them celebrating the house and being potter from Sukkah, why don't you just tell the caterer to bring everything out to the sukkah. The Gemara says, nah, it's a hassle. There's no room. It's too cold. It's not going to work. It's going to detract from the Simchas Chos Mekala. So the mice is not going to work. So the Gemara tries again. The Gemara says, well, why don't we, let's eat in the sukkah and then we'll dance. And so it's not going to work. The Gemara, every logistical problem, everything the caterer says, it's not going to work. The mice is not going to work. So comes around and says, why did the Gemara even ask the kasha? The Gemara makes it sound like we're very uncomfortable with eating in the house, and therefore we're going to try to bend over backwards to get this meal into the sukkah. But the Gemara forgot the din of Isaac and Mitzvah. It's a Mishnah. That Isaac and Mitzvah is part of the sukkah. Isaac and Mitzvah is part of the mitzvah. You're part of the Kriya Shema. So why did the Gemara even try to convince you to eat in the sukkah if you can? What was even the habit? What was bothering the Gemara? So the Ran says that the chav was bothering the Gemara was as follows, that even though it's true that Isaac Mitzvah part of the mitzvah, but come on, like, miyais taiva tikri ra, if you can easily do both mitzvahs without any sweat off your back, so matoiv. You know, what do you have to lose? Do you have anything to gain? Are you mechuyev or are you not mechuyev to? There are a lot of things we do in life that are not mechuyev to do, but it's the right thing to do. The lechat chila, it's the correct thing to do to try to chaperai to be in the sukkah. If you can chaperai in simchas chas v'kala and sukkah, matoiv v'manoiv. So if it's impossible to do, it's very hard to do, so that's what the Gemara answers. It's too hard, the caterer is fetching, there's no room, they can't move the tables. Okay, zozai. So you can't do it, you can't do it. But the Gemara at least didn't want to give up without a fight. The Gemara suggested, let's try to do it, because we always have a tikkur Iran. So what do you see from the Iran? You see from the Iran that even though the person is not really b'chuyv to eat in the sukkah, he's not chayv to. I told you really positive meaning in the sukkah. Aval b'chein, it would be a good idea to try to do it if you can. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's raya for his psak. Mishnah Berurah says that, what do you mean? But you're potter. If you're potter, so what's the miyos tava tikra? What are you gaining? The kash of the Gemara was, it's true you're potter, I know you're potter, I got your potter, but afal b'chein, do it to chaperai the second mitzvah. Mishnah Berurah says, if my psak is not correct, what are you gaining? You're getting nothing. You're getting driving by crazy and you're not accomplishing anything because I say mitzvah, potter, mitzvah is potter. Any mitzvah that you do b'shas tour doesn't register. Zamin Vendor says the Mishnah Berurah, you see from that Ran, from the Ran's Teretz, that even though you're potter, it's still worthwhile to try to do it. If you can chop around both mitzvahs, you see that a mitzvah done b'shas p'tur does qualify as a mitzvah. So this is not the same as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kav Ches, where the Gemara says that eating matzah as a shaita doesn't count. There's a big, big difference. There are different degrees of pturim. There's a ptur of someone who is a gavra ha-potter. That's a shaita as a gavra ha-potter. So any mitzvah that he does at the time that he's potter, including matzah, is worthless. It's a waste of time. And he will be required to repeat the mitzvah if he recovers that night. Masha Ein Kein, when it comes to the ptur of Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah, that's not a ptur of the etzem ha-gavra. That's something which is min atzad. That's a tangential ptur. And that tangential ptur will not impact on the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And therefore, argues the Ran, you would have something to gain if you could by chaperai the second mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah said it, and then he brings a raya, supports himself with the Ran. He says the Mishnah Berurah is in a good position. But the evidence is that there are some Rishonim who disagree with this Ran in this very sugi of Isaac the mitzvah. Within the sugi that the Mishnah Berurah is bringing a raya from, there are Taka Rishonim who disagree. So we started out, we introduced the sugya of Isaac b'mitzvah. So we raised the question that Taisa and the Rana bother with, how you talking about that Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah, in Cain, no one's going to ever give tzedakah, no one's going to ever say krishma, no one's going to ever do anything. Just put it in tzitzis at 6 in the morning and you're good to go for the rest of the day. So what's the answer to that kasha? So whereas the Ran said the answer is Isaac versus Mekayim, Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos sort of gives a different answer. Tosfos sort of claims that Isaac with mitzvah, potter and mitzvah means when it's EF shalakayim shneim. When you have to choose between one mitzvah or the other. So I'm doing mitzvah A, and now mitzvah B comes my way. I'm going to have to stop A and try to pursue B. I won't be able to do both. This is physically impossible to do both. So I'll zen them or the klal of Isaac mitzvah, potter and mitzvah. But says Tosfos, if it's Evshel Lekayim Shneim, if I'm able to do both, so then I'm Mechuyim Lekayim Shneim. The Ptur of Isaac Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah was never given when it's Evshel Lekayim Shneim. So therefore, Tosfos writes, I put on tzitzis in the morning. So what's stopping from giving me tzedakah? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What am I doing? I'm wearing my tzitzis. I'm wearing my tefillin, and an ani comes. I have to give tzedakah. The Medeva Mamurim, the Gemara said that if I'm doing Hashava Saveda, that I don't have to do Tzedakah, that means I'm taking care of the Aveda right now. Right now, I'm feeding the animal, and if I stop now, and the animal's going to get hungry, it's going to run away. It's going to interfere with the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Rak pazen ne'amar the cloud of Isaac mitzvah, patur mitzvah. But if I have the opportunity to perform both mitzvahs, so it's not an option. So where's the Ran understood that Isaac mitzvah is an all-inclusive Torah? it doesn't apply if you're not being Isaac, and it doesn't apply if you're being Mekayim. Taisus understood, no, there's no difference between Isaac and Mekayim, says Taisus. The only thing is that if it's Eav Shalakayim Shneim, then and only then is there a klal. If it's Eav Shalakayim Shneim, then the klal doesn't apply. So the Ritva on that sugya, in the Sechel Berg of Sukkot Dav Chaf Hei, the Ritva asks, if Taisus is right, then they have a big problem, says the Ritva. So what does the Torah have to tell me the klal of Isaac Mitzvah Pater? According to Taisus, the klal is very, very limited. It only applies when it's Eav Shalakayim Shneim. So what would the world have looked like before this klal? So before the Pasuk, B'Shiv Chavei Sechel Lach Chavadarach, before the Gzeska, before the Mishnah of Isaac with Mitzvah, Patra Mitzvah, how would Jewish life have looked like? So I'm in the middle of doing Mitzvah number one, and now Mitzvah number two comes my way. So what would I think to do exactly? What would I have thought I should do? I should stop one and do the other? Like you're doing one. It's one or the other. So like, why in the world would I have thought that, no, I have to stop doing one and do the other. Kavash, well, you don't have to. What's the Shaila? So the Ritva says that you have to add a little bit to this klal. He says, Mestam, what the klal means according to Taisus is like this. I'm doing mitzvah number one. And mitzvah number one is a very, very low level kind of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah min akalos. It's a low type of a mitzvah, not the most chometic mitzvah under the sun. And now comes my way a mitzvah chamura. Now, what gives me the right to make that assessment, which mitzvahs are more important than others? Doesn't the smack of the Mishnah Pekayavas that you have to be Zorah b'mitzvah kalak in the Chamura? So the answer is, this has nothing to do with that Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling you that, of course, there are kalas and chamuras. The Mishnah says it. Have you zorb mitzvah kala, kiva chamura? Means, of course, there are categories of kalas and chamuras. Kalas are eses b'yama, chamuras are mitzvah sheish from kore, so maybe mitzvah sharab according to some, maybe there are other factors that elevate certain mitzvahs. So, of course, there are gradations. Of course, there is a pyramid in terms of mitzvahs. Of course, there are hierarchy within mitzvahs. What the Mishnah is telling you in the world of Musar and Machshava is, don't become a person who only goes to the biggies. You're only going for the mitzvahs of chamuros. You don't know what schar and shemitzvahs are. In Shemayim, the reward may be different. We have no idea what the schar for any given mitzvah is. That's what the Rambam writes his famous Yisod in Uchas Tshuva, where the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that a person's averus or shokel can negate his mitzvahs, and a beinoni is someone who's half and half. And a tzaddik is someone who has a little bit tilts a little bit more, and a rosh is someone who tilts in the other direction. So says the Rambam, you have no way of knowing which mitzvahs outweigh any given averus. Says the Rambam, a person could do one mitzvah. That one mitzvah corresponds to 1,000 averus, or chalila vice versa. The Rambam says that only the Rebbe Hashem knows how much any given mitzvah is worth in terms of the shikl, in terms of the din. So it's not a one-on-one type of thing. See, a person has the marshal like this. A guy goes ahead and he kills somebody. So that's one avera. So then he puts on tefillin the next morning. So that equals it up. Hard to believe, right? So a person goes there, he's over to Venezuela, but then he shakes a lulav. So, oh, Baruch Hashem, one and one, not bad, okay, 50-50, okay, remember? So now he sits in a sukkah and a lulav, and he killed somebody and did a Venezuela. It's just 2-on-2. That's not the way, it doesn't work like that. So there are some mitzvahs that are worth more than others, and some averes are worth more than others, and ain shikol azel if he died to shalak elis, but only the Baruch Hashem knows what the shikol is.
Doesn't the Rambam on their mission say, like, what's a mitzvah kala, the ones that people treat like their kala?
There are other ways of figuring out what exactly mitzvah kala is. That's what the Rambam has his comment about the learning Lashon HaKodesh. Right. So that Rambam and that Mishnah. Okay. So again, there are categories in the Lachah mitzvah kala. So there's no question about it. The Gemara has this about Yavah Esiachom, Yuch Esiachal. It's a Gemara Pesachim, nothing test. There are Gemaras about Esiachom and Esiachal. So how do you define which are which? It's not so simple. But there definitely are categories in the Lachah.
The Rambam there isn't trying to say that
I don't remember anymore. I'm going to take a look at the Rambam. I don't remember anymore. Okay, anyway, getting back to that story. So comes, the Ritva makes the following judgment. A guy is doing mitzvah A, which is a very, very low-level mitzvah. Now mitzvah B comes his way, that's a mitzvah chamura. So misvara, I would have said, stop A and go for B. You're only making $10, and you can make $1,000. It makes sense. Take your money out of your silly bit. You got money sitting in a little savings account that's making 9 cents every 30 years. Put your money into some big stocks. You make a lot of money. So it makes sense to take your money out of the little mitzvah and put all your eggs into the big basket of the big mitzvah. So b'svara, it would have made sense to stop mitzvah one. So comes the Ritva and says, that's the Chiddush HaTorah. Don't stop doing mitzvah one, even though mitzvah one is a low-level mitzvah. Why not? So the Ritva says the following. Because whenever you're doing mitzvah A, mitzvah B is not a mitzvah. Mitzvah B is like a davar shel reshus. So the Torah is being mechadish to me that you can't make the cheshbon anymore, stop A to do B, because stopping A and doing B, you're stopping a mitzvah to do a davar shel rishus, because the Torah said you're potter. So the Ritva uses the lashon davar shel rishus. He calls mitzvah B as not a ma'aseh mitzvah bichlal. It's a davar shel rishus. So that's what the Ksav Seif writes in the Tshuva. That Ritva is against this Ran, no question about it. That the Ritva understood that ma'aseh mitzvah potter mitzvah is mamash p'tur. It means the second mitzvah is commanda lace that doesn't exist, that doesn't register on the radar screen, holds by you doing the first mitzvah. So if you went ahead and you violated the din and you did the second mitzvah, it's commanda lace. And now let's say the p'tur goes away, and an hour from now your first mitzvah disappears. So then according to this Ritva, you have to go back and eat again. So whereas the Mishnah Berurah was so convinced, a little note in the Shaar Tzion and tucked away in the end of Chas Matzah, where the Mishnah Berurah is convinced that Yayetzi the Mitzvah, he quotes the Ran that Yayetzi the Mitzvah, the other Achareim quote the Zudvot, so you're not Yayetzi the Mitzvah. So the answer is, it's a Machlokes. So again, it all started with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches about the Shaito Eats Matzah. So Gemara says that the Shaito Eats Matzah is not Yayetzi. The Shagasai wasn't sure, is that a Din Prati for Shaito or a Din Kloli Ba'ala Peturim? So the Shagasai was noted that it's a din klali, but even as a din klali, it's not clear. Is it a din klali that spills over to Isaac b'mitzvah? So maybe Isaac b'mitzvah is legamri, a different kind of a p'tur that wouldn't lend itself to that sugya in Rashad Daf Kav Ches. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes the devil Pasha that it is different from a shaita. He was following the Ikvay Saran, and other Echavarim suggest maybe the Ritva would be right.
So of course the Ritva, one of the
rain
sittis, then the other mitzvah would be a
Dabar Rishos? No, because the Ritva happens to hold like Tosis, that when it's Efshel Lekayim Shneim, so then the whole Torah doesn't apply. So I give Tzedakah when I'm wearing sittis. So the post can point out that this could be really, really Lemaisa. This could be a Halach Lemaisa for many, many people in Eretz Yisrael today. Let's say someone's doing a mitzvah. Let's say they're on Shmirah or something. So they're doing a Kabbalah mitzvah. They're helping out the Klal Yisrael. They're watching over the people to make sure that everyone's safe. So a guy standing outside town, standing by the gate, and he's doing Shmirah. And it's a Leil HaSeder. So he's got a piece of matzah sitting in his pocket. So he decides, I'm going to, I want to be Yitzhak Erevtach HaMatzahs. So he sticks the pizza, right? I don't know whether he washes it, whatever he does. He takes a piece of nice matzah, and he's standing looking around, doing a Shmirah, and he's eating his Kazayis matzah. So it looks like a beautiful thing that he's doing. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, gewaldik, wow, a great thing. Except the Mishnah Berurah is not sure he can make a bracha on it, because he's supposed to be doing mitzvah A, he's not supposed to be stopping doing mitzvah B. Whereas according to this Ritva, it's not a mitzvah b'chol. So now the guy finishes his shmirah at 11 o'clock at night. So according to many achronim, he's got to go back and make a new bracha. He's got to go back and be yitzir mitzvah again. So depending on whether we understand that the p'tur of Isaac b'mitzvah is the equivalent of the p'tur of shaita, will impact on this shaila. Let's say you have a guy, this guy's doing medical, guy's taking care of a chayla or something. And as he's on his atzalik wall, so he's munching on his matzah. That's also, he's a part of a mitzvah. Right now he's doing ches. That's a part of a mitzvah. So why is he running to eat the matzah right now? So according to the Ran, he's told that's a great thing, as long as it doesn't interfere with the taking care of the chayla. So according to the Ran, that's a wonderful thing. You're doing a mitzvah, that's great. According to Ritva, you're doing a davar shel rishus. You should finish the mitzvah whenever the mitzvah's over. And then, if you find someone else who's able to do the mitzvah, whatever the case may be. So once you're close by, you're still being Isaac in the first mitzvah, finish the first mitzvah. When you're done with the first mitzvah, eat matzah. And if you don't finish the first mitzvah, say, well, so you won't eat matzah that year. It's Isaac a mitzvah, potter a mitzvah. So again, different opinions as to how far we take that Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So that was the second year for this year. If you look at the Maamar Komos, that was everything on where? Nothing. There was one Maamar Komos, right? The Gemara in the 10th of Maamar Komos. So just came, this thoughts came to me. I was coming to Shiva today, so I figured I'd share this with you. Yeah. We have to get to Maamar Komos. I forgot the end of the Shiva yesterday. I forgot the sugi from yesterday. We left the Ramah hanging. What was that? Next week, maybe. Yeah. The what? Balavera. Poor guy's going to be a big tzaddik.
Do we have any distinction? Haven't we talked about some mitzvahs are action-oriented and some are result-oriented?
Yes, we're going to get that in a second. Okay, that's going to be the second part. That's on the back page of my memory. So there is a famous question that is raised about this halacha. Everything we've been saying until now, when a person is potter from a mitzvah, that mitzvah that he does can't register, can't help him to fulfill the mitzvah that Tabri becomes Lein Nischayev. So this is a famous question that was raised by the Minchas Chinuch, as before Minchas Chinuch, because I himself raised this question, on the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, on the 9th of Maamar Komos, of Samach Beis and Aleph. So the Gemara quotes the following machloik, is about the mitzvah of Puruvu. The Torah says, the first of the Tag Mitzvahs, Puruvu. So I very often tell this to a young chassan and kallahs when they come to talk to me before the wedding. So I try to impress upon them about how important this mitzvah is. And our general approach to life is that when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, so you do the mitzvah. Sometimes there are very, very extenuating circumstances that have to be judged case by case to see whether maybe there are grounds perhaps to delay doing a mitzvah. So that's a very, very serious shaila. But unfortunately, some people have the other mindset. The mindset is, of course, we're not doing the mitzvah, and we're just getting a rabbi to give us that stamp so we don't feel guilty about it. So my job is not to make people not feel guilty. My job is to try to tell you what the halacha is. So somebody comes and asks me, so I try to impress upon them that just how important the mitzvah peruvu is. So I always give them the following mashal. I said, if the Baruch Hashem didn't think that peruvu was so important, he would have stuck it into the middle of Sefer Vayikra. It would have been like mitzvah shin sari da'al in Sefer Chinuch. No one would have known that it existed. And it would have got lost in the shuffle. But the Baruch Hashem put it on Bereishis. Everyone's still in the Sefer Torah mode. Everyone's actually being Mavisedra, precious Bereishis. Usually by Lech Lecha, people are already done. But it's like Daf Yomi. It's like the Beis and Brachas. You don't have to wait till you get the... Say, Rabbi Dan Nosi, why did he start Shas with Brachas? All the before Shabbat, it's like a funny place to start Shas. Why did he start with Brachas? So the emes is that he realized, imagine if he would have started with Erevin. If Yomi would have been dead on arrival. He would have started with Yevamos. Forget it. He would have started with Nozer. Mamish Gor, forget it. So he started with Brachas because he figured, you know, Brachas, everyone comes with Brachas. Come on, it's easy. It's half of the stories anyway, you know, and a couple of dafkes Mavarchi, no big deal. You know, everyone's able to do Brachas. Then the guy gets Shabbos. But he feels very guilty, you know, to pull out. You know, his wife made him a big seum when he finished brachas, so he's all proud of himself. You know, he feels like he's walking around with his, you know, his awesome gemara. He feels like a good guy. So all right, so he fell plow through Shabbos. Eventually, things will get better. Then he gets walloped over there with Erevin. But he figures, listen, the Magachir doesn't understand it either. So what's the big deal? So I don't know. No one understands it. So we just keep on. He feels good. He's walking around with his picture book, so he makes him believe like he understands what's going on and moves on. By the time he gets to Pesachim, he's too embarrassed to back out. He's been learning already for a year. And you're ready, they're telling him he's going to be sit at the dais and say Kaddish at the Daf Yomi Siyum. So he feels good about himself. He's not going to back out now. So he shlaps to Mayid. And then he gets hammered in Yavamas. But Yavamas is already halfway through. So he just keeps on going. So Rabbi Nasi started you off with Brachas. That was the whole reason. But anyway, so Rabbi Shalom started out with Puravu because he wanted to catch your attention. That he wanted to make sure you realize that, hey, this is not incident. This is pretty important. That's where Yosef Cairo followed suit. He wrote the first siman in Evan Ezer, assuming you were learning Evan Ezer, is Hilchas Peribaribia. That's what starts. It doesn't start with Yavamas and Saita. It starts with Peribaribia. So the Gemara has the following shaila about the mitzvah of a Peribaribia. Very, very strange. But like this, what is the shaila? Let's say a person has biological children, but he wasn't Jewish. A goy has children, he's married, his wife, his children, the whole family. And then later on in life, he decides to convert. So on the one hand, he has biological children. On the other hand, they're not really halachically 100% his children. So what do we do with that exactly? How do we understand whether he's yaitz in the mitzvah per v'rivya or not? So the Gemara quotes a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says he fulfills the mitzvah per v'rivya. And Rish Lakish says not, and it's not clear what the Nekudas machlekes is. Rabbi Shlokesh applies the rule of Geshes Gakut and Shadon the Dam. Rabbi Yechanan seems to deny that, at least its application here. So it's not 100% clear in Yevamos what the point of contention was. But we pass the Rabbi Yechanan. He's not a Yates in the midst of Peribur Rivia. So the Shagas Aryeh, in that piece in Turiyev and Rosh Hashanah Kavches, asked the Kasha, why is this any different than eating matzah when the guy was a Shaita? A Goy is not Chayiv in the midst of Peribur. Even though Peribur was given to Adam Arishon, was given to Bnei Noach, but the Gemara seems to say of a Sech Sanhedrin that it was taken away from them at the time of Matan Torah. That it was one of those mitzvahs that did apply till Matan Torah to Goyim and not post Matan Torah. Why that switch? Why the transition? Another time, another place. But that seems to be what the Gemara and Sanhedrin says. So comes the Shagas Aryeh and says, so wait a second, when the guy did the mitzvah Puravu, when he had the children, he was potim in a mitzvah. So forget about the issue whether it's Mesiachis or not. Mesiachis is talking about is the other children Mesiachis, or his, not his. That's a very, very technical Yevamos kind of a shayla. He asked the Shagas Aryeh, why is this fundamentally different than a person eating matzah when he was a shayta? So says the Shagas Aryeh, if you hold my first pshat, that there is no rule out there called potter from mitzvah doesn't count. It's a din prati by a shayta, because the shayta doesn't know what's going on, so he's a labar das. You can't be yetzi a mitzvah you did without das. He is a goy. He's a very smart, regular goy. He's a very, very bright guy. And he's having children. So maybe he could be yaitzeg. So the Shaggy Zayi says, my second shot is probably correct. To say that a shaita is different is probably not right. There is a klal, and that's how we paskin in the halacha, that there is a klal, any mitzvah that you do, b'shas p'tur, so it doesn't register as a mitzvah. So Abba Zoy, why Rabbi Yechavi Shlokish drain about whether the kids are mishachis, not mishachis, yehis, nishtis, it's all irrelevant, that typically, typically that he did the mitzvah at the time when he was not obligated to do the mitzvah. That's the famous kasha of the Shaggy Zayi. So the Minchas Chinuch on Mitzvah Aleph, I think the answer you were alluding to, someone was alluding to, that, who was alluding to who? Who asked me about results? Somebody asked. I thought it came from this corner. So comes the Minchas Chinuch on Mitzvah Aleph and he says, no, he thinks there's a very, very big difference between the mitzvah of eating matzah and the mitzvah of having children. And if you notice, that was the name actually of this topic. It was 2 years ago, Shabbos HaGadol, Russia, eating matzah and having children when Pesachim and Yevamos meet. Okay, that was the name. That was the name of the Shia. Okay, so they must have been learning Yevamos and Daf Yomi then. That's probably why. Okay, so that makes sense. How many? Where are we up to now? We're above Mitzia now. Yes, we had all said in Oshim. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so comes the Minchas Chinuch and the Aleph and says the difference is very, very simple. He said that there are some mitzvahs that require a ma'aseh mitzvah. The ma'aseh mitzvah is everything. And there are other mitzvahs which are result-oriented. So he said that, says Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah of achilas matzah is a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. You had to eat k'sayis matzah. So there's a very, very specific time on the when that mitzvah is being fulfilled. When the ma'aseh achilas is being done. What is the ma'aseh achilas? It happens to be just a very technical about what exactly defines achilah. Is ma'aseh achila considered to be when the food goes down the throat, or is ma'aseh achila until it gets into the mayayim? It's not 100% sure where those mayayim are, how far down in this. But we pass the Rabbi Yechon. It's anos goron. The food goes down the gulp, whatever you think goron means. So that's called the ma'aseh achila halacha. So al zeh ne'emar the din that ma'aseh achila has to be done b'shas chiyuv. So if you were a shaita when you ate that matzah, according to the Ritva, you were a nice mitzvah, you ate that matzah, you did a mitzvah, shlo b'shas chiyuva. So a ma'aseh mitzvah done, shlo b'shas chiyuv, can't register. But says the Minchas Chinuch, that's not what the mitzvah peruvu is. The mitzvah peruvu, there's no ma'aseh mitzvah peruvu. The mitzvah peruvu is the existence of children in the world. So if you're not somebody else's children, your children. If you are the father of children in Olam Hazeh, and how many children do you have to fulfill the mitzvahs? That's a four-way machlekes that tonight. We're familiar with the two popular opinions. Beishamai says you could be yaitzeh with two boys, because Beishamai says Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any girls. He only had two boys, and he stopped being with his wife, Pirish Ben Isha. So Beishamai says, how could he be Pirish Ben Isha if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Revi? Yeah? So Beishamai says, you see that two boys is also considered to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And Beis Hillel responded that no, that Moshe Rabbeinu Tach was not fulfilled the mitzvah. Why was he Pirish? It was a special did, a special Tarosh, whatever it was, a special Pirish Midaita, whatever that Gemara means, is that Moshe Rabbeinu Tach did not fulfill the mitzvah. So Beishamai still had a machlokes about how do we understand the historical reality? As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu had no girls. We know he had two boys, Sukkim and Chumash. And we know that Lebaisi didn't continue to try to have children, Pirish Ben Isha. So how do you understand? So Beishamai says he would never have been Pirish if he wasn't yaitzeh the mitzvah yet. So does that mean that he was yaitzeh the mitzvah? And Beis Hillel said that's not true. He was Pirish even though he wasn't yaitzeh the mitzvah. So Beis Hillel, what the Mishnah say, you need a boy and a girl. How did Beis Hillel know a boy and a girl? From Bris Oilam, Zochet Kev Barom, so that the mitzvah peruvu is, the Basham says to Adma Rishon, which is what we learned the dinner peruvu from, even though Goyim now a potter, but the original tzivu was said, Vayom peruvu mils aretz, so that was said to Adma Rishon to say that just as I created Zochet Nekeva, so too I'm insisting that you created Zochet Nekeva. That's the Turas HaMitzvah, Zochet Nekeva Barom. That's how we pass it in Halacha. So those are the two popular opinions that appear in the Mishnah, but there are actually two other opinions that appear in the Braisa, in the Sugya, the Sixth Pech of Yevamos. There's one Tana that says you only have to have one child. It could be either a boy or a girl. How did that Tana know that? Because the Pasuk says in Yeshayo, Lo Sobro LaShevis Yitzorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world for nothing. He created the world to be inhabited. So that Pasuk is not really talking about the mitzvah peruvu. The Pasuk in Navi is just giving a historical observation about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So that he wants it to be an inhabited place. He doesn't want it to be, if he wanted a desolate world, he wouldn't have bothered creating people. So the Gemara says, no, that we have a tradition, that pasuk in the Navi Yeshayo is actually defining the mitzvah peravu. That pasuk is not just stam in hashkafa, not just stam a pasuk in Navi. That pasuk, no one would even know this pasuk exists. If you didn't learn Yuvamas, you would never have a clue there's such a pasuk. If you didn't learn Yuvamas, you could be you didn't have a clue there's a Navi called Yeshayo. But lo so baral l'sheves yitzara, that there's the Navi is being magged, is defining for us that the mitzvah of peravu is to do a derech sheves. So what's called derech sheves? To inhabit. I inhabited the world. I added the population of the world. One. The world beforehand was 8 billion people on the dot. I had a child, be a boy, be a girl. Now the population of the world is 8 million and one. So I fulfilled that idea of l'sheves yitzara. So that's what one Tana says. Once they fulfill the mitzvah l'sheves yitzara, that by definition is a mitzvah peruvu. What did all the other Tarim say? Well, the other Tarim said that you need more than that. You need two boys, you need a boy and a girl. So what do they do with that pasuk? So the pasuk, the dvarim is that they understood that Shabbos is almost like a separate mitzvah. It means the mitzvah peruvu, that requires a boy and a girl. That's either two boys or a boy and a girl, whatever you think about Shabbos. So then the Navi is saying, in addition to the mitzvah peruvu, there is a mitzvah of Shabbos, just simply inhabiting the world is a obligation as well. Even for a person who will not fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, Shabbos still stands on its own 2 feet. My nafkamina. If you're ready, chayef, to have a boy and a girl, so by a harilah, the mitzvah of Shabbos. So Taisus in a few places points out that the mitzvah of Shabbos may apply for women, even though the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that women are exempt from peruvu, because the chivshuaksiv, and ish daik alichbash, and ish daik alichbash. So vis-a-vis the mitzvah of the first mitzvah in the Torah of peruvu, women are pturos. But it could be that women are chayavas and Shabbos. My nafkamina chayavas and Shabbos, they have to have one child. It means you don't have to have two children. You have to have one child. So women also have to populate the world. They have to cause the world to be inhabited. And the sach hakol, they have to contribute to the world's population, is by one. They have to replace themselves. They don't have to add on. Peruvu means you have to add on more and more and more. Peruvu is a lashon rabim. You have to give more. I started as one person. I have to bring two people into the world, either two boys or a boy and a girl. Hashenke, in the midst of Shabbos, is just to make up for myself. I have to substitute. I'm one person. I've got to leave this world knowing at least I produced one other person in the world. So it could be that women are chayavas in that. Or let's say you have a man, he knows he's not going to be able to have two children. He knows the doctors tell him betchila, you will never ever have a second child. You can only have one child. That's it. That's the way it is. So should he have that one child? Is that a mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah? So it could be that that's not a mitzvah peruvu, but it is a mitzvah Shabbos. Shabbos just means to inhabit the world. So there's machlekes hatanoim about how to understand the relationship between Shabbos and peruvu. Is Shabbos defining peruvu? Once I fulfill Shabbos, memeilam yaitze peruvu, or is Shabbos not defining peruvu? Shabbos is a separate kiyum, and you can actually have one without the other. So that was another tana. Then there's a fourth opinion that says that you have to have four children in order to fulfill the mitzvah of a peruvu, and they have to be two boys and two girls. That's the mitzvah. There's one Tanner of Nosson says that according to Beishamai, Amish just says Beishamai says you need two boys. So Nosson says no, Beishamai didn't mean two boys. I mean two boys plus two girls. So that's the fourth sheet that appears. So again, the conventional wisdom is born a girl. That's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Then Beishamai in the Mishnah says two boys. Then one Tanner in the Gemara and the Braisa says one child, no matter boy or girl. And the biggest chumrah is two boys and two girls. So I remember when my second daughter was born, so we had an older daughter, two boys, a girl. So I remember, so somebody was a shtickel lamdan, so he said to me, you were just yaitzeh to the mitzvah of Rivia according to Rabbi Nosson's version of Beishamai. That was his mild stuff to me. So I said, you're right. I said, that was the biggest chumrah. So Rabbi Nosson, leave it to Beishamai. Okay, anyway, back to our story. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned. Shulchan Aruch, we pass in one boy and one girl. Should try to have a lot more. The Gemara says that even though a person fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirva Rivia, there's a mitzvah to have more children. So the Gemara says, so even if you had children when you were younger, you should try to have as many children as you can. That's an extension. That's a mitzvah. Whether that's a deraisa, that's already another story. We're off the topic right now. Not that ever bothered us, but we're off the topic. Right now. So back to our story. So comes the Minchas Chinuch and says that the mitzvah of having children is not really a maisa, a mitzvah. It's a matzav. It's a status. The fact that there are children who exist in the world, where your halachic, biological, whatever you want to call them, children, that is the mitzvah per Rivia. And therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, you cannot apply that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and say, you did the mitzvah when you were potter, your maisa mitzvah didn't count. It was who maisa mitzvah? There's no maisa mitzvah. It doesn't exist. There's no maisa mitzvah per Rivia. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what do you mean there's no maisa mitzvah per Rivia? have children, you have to go on a date, you got to get married, you got to have a ma'aseh bia, and a lot of things have to happen. So Mechas Chinuch says that none of the above is a ma'aseh mitzvah. Those are all what we call hechsher mitzvah. The din is that I have to sit in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah of sukkah. But mela, I got to go buy bamboo, I got to make and build a sukkah, I got to have a lot of things I have to do. So I have to eat matzahs, I have to eat the matzahs. So I have to either bake the matzahs, I got to go to the store and buy the matzahs, I have to blow a shofar. So either I got to get the shofar off the ram myself, or go to a shofar factory and get a shofar. Often, most mitzvahs require certain kinds of preparations beforehand. So Bechas Chinuch says that anything and everything that you do, they're all hechsher mitzvahs. There's nothing that's the ma'aseh mitzvah itself. Not even the ma'aseh bia, says Bechas Chinuch. There's absolutely nothing involved in this world that is a ma'aseh mitzvah per of you. It is a mitzvah that happens simply by a matzav. And therefore, the idea of talking about being potter in a mitzvah, b'shas ma'aseh, is a meaningless discussion. How did Mechas Chinuch know that that's what the mitzvah per of you is? So he says, he has a raya. The Gemara says that, it's machlekes in the Gemara, we paskin, that Rachman Litzlan, a person has a boy and a girl, and one of the children passes away. So he's not yet to the mitzvah. He has to have another child. The Gemara discusses if the child passed away and left their own children, maybe you could say B'nei Banu or Kibbutim. That's a technical detail in the sixth brach of Yevamos. But B'Karon, if a person has children, and Chalil, one of the children dies, he becomes M'chuyu B'Dover again to fulfill the mitzvah of a Pir V'Rivya. So the Mechas Chinuch says, if a guy shook a lulav, so it's over. You don't lose a mitzvah. It's impossible. A guy hurt shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So what are you going to do? You can take the kolos out of his head? What are you going to do? You're going to make his ears give the kolos back? What are you going to do exactly to undo it? You can't undo a mitzvah. You did it. I put tefillin on already today. So what am I going to do? I'm going to wipe the marks off my arm. So now I didn't do the tefillin. Nonsense. You did a mitzvah. Says the Bechas Chinuch, you can only discuss about undoing a mitzvah if the mitzvah is not a ma'aseh mitzvah. The mitzvah is a matzav. So you have to be in an ongoing matzav. And if that ongoing matzav changes, that you're no longer that matzav. Okay, no longer the matzav of sounds a little bit better. Okay, if you're no longer the matzav of having children, so then that mitzvah no longer speaks to you. So now you're mechuyav to start all over again, to get yourself back into that matzav of having children. Sometimes it's not clear whether any given mitzvah is a ma'isa, whether any given mitzvah is a matzav. It's not always so poshut. There's a famous machlekes acharonim in Hilchos Ksivas Sefer Torah. You just got a chance to write a letter Sefer Torah upstairs. Somebody has started writing a new Sefer Torah upstairs. So right before I came to Shia, so I wrote them. I didn't write, I just stood there and watched. But everyone fills in the letter Sefer Torah. So there's a big machlekes acharonim whether the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is a ma'isa mitzvah or is it a matzav. The owning of the Sefer Torah, I caused the Sefer Torah to be brought into this world. Either I wrote it myself or I shaliach, I hired a guy to write it for me. So having the Sefer Torah is what the mitzvah is. So the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Machlekes, let's say a guy writes a Sefer Torah, and then the Sefer Torah gets stolen, or gets burned, chalila. It's destroyed. So some Machlekes write, you don't have to bother writing again. There's a mitzvah in every Jew, lichtov, mitzvah zeh seh kalish yishu Yisrael, lichtov Sefer Torah li'atzmo, there's a chiyuv derayis, it's the last of the 613 mitzvahs. You have to write a Sefer Torah for yourself. Once you wrote it, it's over. The Sefer Torah got burnt up, got destroyed, got sold the next day. It doesn't make a difference. You're still yaitzid the mitzvah. And other achareb say, no. The mitzvah is not the ksiva. The mitzvah is the owning of the Sefer Torah. So if I wrote a Sefer Torah and then it gets removed from me, so it's ois Sefer Torah, so I have to start all over again. So the Pesach Tshuva quotes that according to the Machmirim, so you have to be careful if you write a Sefer Torah and you want to give it to a shul. So you have to be careful not to be matmeh to the shul. You shouldn't give it to the shul that it belongs to the shul, because if it belongs to the shul, that's not yours anymore. That's like tantamount to getting stolen, to getting burnt. So the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Machmirim who say, when you write a Sefer Torah, be careful not to transfer ownership on it to the shul. That should still remain in the ownership of the original Baal HaBos. Otherwise, the guy just spent $80,000 on a Sefer Torah, that's got to start over again. So that's going to be a pretty big waste. So he should always retain ownership of the Sefer Torah. So we do that. All the Sefer Torah that we have in our shul, so I told the people who donated the Sefer Torah, B'tchil, I said to them, it's not our Sefer Torah. It belongs to you. You have a right to take it whenever you want. You know, we would appreciate if you don't every Monday and Thursday walk away with it. But Lamayis, it's your Sefer Torah. You're allowed to do whatever you want with it. And pure Din Mamanus, it's on loan to the shul. It does not belong to us in terms of Din Mamanus. Some people insisted on having that in writing. So those people who asked for it in writing, we put it in writing. Those people who trusted that it doesn't mean writing, we don't put it in writing. Whatever, that doesn't matter. The bottom line is that the Sefer Torah belonged to the Baal HaBatim. That's the reason why we had a big, when we first had the first Sefer Torah years ago, the shul started, so somebody donated a Sefer Torah to the shul. So the question was, who pays the insurance on the Sefer Torah? So we contacted our the shul insurance, and they they told us, there are chiluk edayas, I think, in the world of insurance, but what we were advised was that the owner of the Sefer Torah should insure the Sefer Torah. It should be a rider on his insurance, not on the shul's insurance, but it doesn't belong to you. You're not supposed to insure something they don't own, so it's only supposed to be really on his. So that's what we told, we said, according to this chum of the Pesach Tshuva, the Sefer Torah belongs to you, you have to pay for the insurance. So everyone was very happy about that. They were not all upset. The guy's a good heart, he gives the Sefer Torah a couple of $100 a year to put it on his insurance policy, his Dishka Felech, but I don't know how much, I have no idea what it costs. But that was what we were explaining. I remember at the time when we first were speaking to the about insuring the Sefer Torah, so we were talking to, I think it was insurance, someone who was working with us from, who was like expertise in you know, those kinds of insurance things. So I think it was some firm that was works down south that they insure other kinds of houses of worship. They, you know, really, you know, the firm people in other parts of the country. So they were discussing to us, you know, the ins and outs of the insurance. So I remember that we had this conversation with them. I remember it was a lady with a very, very thick southern accent. So she was asking us what exactly like these Sefer Torah are. So we said, well, they're ancient scrolls, you know, ancient scrolls of the Bible. She was very, very fascinated by that. So she asked us, like, give me a ballpark, how much these things cost? Like, how much they go for, $100, $200? She said, no, they go, at the time, $50,000, $60,000 a scroll. She was like, wow, she was blown away. Okay, anyway, back to our story. So the Beit Chinuch claims that the mitzvah of Peru Bru is not like the mitzvah of matzah or like shofar. It's a mitzvah shel matzav, and therefore, if the matzav changes, that's going to impact your mitzvah, but that's going to help you in terms of being a goy, because the goy who had children, so when he becomes Jewish, assuming the children are halachli his, that's what B'yachim Shlokish, whatever that means, you know, if the children are still his, the fact that he had bia with his wife when he was a goy, that's lamav lamev, that's not going to impact. So Mechaz Chinuch says, and now that I discovered this Yisoid, discovered America, this Yisoid HaYisoidus, that Puruvu is not a mitzvah shel mais, it's a mitzvah shel matzav. So now the Mechaz Chinuch says, now we understand the answer to the age-old question. It's a very, very famous question. I think I even put it on the Marmar Kamis here somewhere. No? Toys in Gittin, we're in Gittin, 11th to 12th Marmar Kamis. There is a famous question that's asked by a Toysus on the Ma'alf Masach is Gittin. The Mishnah Gittin talks about a fellow who's a Chatzi Eved and a Chatzi Ben Chayrin. A guy walking around that he was owned by two owners, one owner freed his half. I remember Sugar did a case that a guy is 50% Eved Kenani and if 50% a regular Jew. Once an Eved Kenani is freed, he becomes like a regular Ger, becomes a Meshuk, is a regular Jewish fellow. So this guy is 50-50. You would get the impression, if you read Mechaz Chinuch, you would think that everyone in the world is either an Chatzi Eved or an Androgynous. Every other line of the Mechaz Chinuch is about what do you do about these kinds of funny people. So you have this guy, he's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin, and the Mishnah had a big Machlekes HaTorah, and what do you do with this guy? So Beis Hillel says, no big deal. So he's owned 50% to the Mass. He's got to work 3 days a week. They're only 6 days. He ain't going to work on Saturday. He doesn't work on Shabbos. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he works for his master. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he works for himself. So you just split up the Dinim Amunis. Very simple. So Bishami says that solves the Dinim Amunis. It doesn't solve his marriage prospects. His marriage possibilities are zero. There is no human being under the sun who he can actually marry. Why is that? Because since he's a Chatzi Eved, he can't marry a Bas Chayrin. Since he's a Chatzi Ben Chayrin, he can't marry a Shivcha. So who's he going to marry? There's nobody else available for this fellow. So Taisus goes through 4,000 different possibilities. Let him marry a Nosset, a Mamzer, a Disson, a Amoini. Taisus tries to figure out who he can and can't marry. But Lamais, the Mishnah says, he can't get married. There's no one for him to marry. So we cannot leave it in such a position that he has no Shidduch prospect at all. That zero. He writes up a resume, and who's he available to? Nobody is. Nobody is available to marry. No resume, no references. A garnish. He can't get married. So Beis Shammai turned to Beis Hillel and they said, it's inconceivable that there should be such a person walking on this planet who can't get married. Lo sobro l'shevizator. Beis Shammai quote that pasuk in Yeshayahu. So Beis Shammai said, what we can do is, we're going to force the master to free him, and then it'll be a regular gear. He can marry basically whoever he wants. So b'chazu Beis Hillel is kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel was so convinced that Beis Shammai's thought was right, so they changed their psak. One of the few places Beis Hillel retracted the original psak, and that's a nimvah gone. We pass it like Beis Shammai's and Beis Hillel's revision. That Ruchinami, that's what we do. Kofet is rabbi. So, what a beautiful story, right? You know, here we have this dilemma, and Beis Shammai quotes a pasuk from Novi, and we overturned the psak, and Well, it's a beautiful, dramatic, story. And the Balei HaTosfos, in their style of being misnagdim, should misnagdim. The Balei HaTosfos says, I don't understand the problem. What kind of drama is this? Come on. He says, I can figure out an Eitzah. It's very easy for this guy to get married. Who should he marry? No, so that was another option. But let him marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Why? What's the terrible Aveira that he's doing? That an Eved is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael? Yavi Esi Vitchelos Esi. But the mitzvah of Pir Berivya, Videchid Alav of Liyah Kadesh. The Yisra, there's a law of the Torah for Eved to Shifcha to marry into Klal Yisrael. So let the mitzvah Esi, Yavi Esi Vitchelos Esi. That's Taisus Kasha. Means it's not a mitzvah. So Mechas Chinuch says the answer is that you can't say Esed Dechalosase. Esed Dechalosase means when I'm doing a Maisa mitzvah, even though I'm doing it Bishas Maisa, I'm doing it in Aveira, so you have an Esed Dechalosase. Mitzvah Bever means when Esed Dechalosase doesn't apply, that's called Mitzvah Bever. But if the Torah gives you Rishus to it, so you don't say that I'm doing a Bris Mila on Shabbos, it's a Mitzvah Bever. The Torah says to do it. You bring a car Pesach on Shabbos. The Torah says to do it. That's not a mitzvah. Remember when I was in high school, so I think it was in 10th grade, so we had a color war during Chanukah. So the two teams were Zohar and Shomor. I still remember the songs. Okay, so we were in Zohar. We won color war. Zohar, we won color war. We're marching. Okay, so it was Zohar. So Zohar, we spoke a lot about the Ramban, about Mitzvah's essay, Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Avas essays, and Los essays. So Zohar had to be that Shomer. So I remember someone on the other team got up and gave a whole Derasha. His Dvar Torah was to show why Los essays are more important than essays. So he says, because after all, we have a cloud called Mitzvah Yaver. So then a guy from that team rebutted and said, no, but there's Dinavessi Dachalosa. It's the guy, the two 15-year-old kids are yelling and screaming, like me and Nady. No! The answer is, the drasha was nonsense, the rebuttal was nonsense. They're two different klalim, and you have to figure out which klal plugs in. So it's not the fact that we won Kol War is irrelevant. That happens to be true, but that discussion about Esel Chesed and Mitzvah Aveira was completely nonsensical. Absolutely nothing to do with anything. Anyway, like most other things in high school. Anyway, get that list line off. Right? Most other things in high school, Kol War, I don't mean high school in general. So anyway, back to our story. So Mechas Chinuch says that based on his Yisoid, so the whole idea of Esed Dochalosei would be meaningless here. So we have to, hopefully, Mitzvah Shev on Sunday, we'll try to finish up the Sugya. We have to then go back to the beginning of the Mamakar. We didn't even start the first of the Mamakar, it's about Mitzvah Aveira. We just barely scratched the surface. I mentioned Mitzvah Aveira, that's going to go back to if you hadn't noticed, we did the Sugya backwards. We did the first half, second half first, but we'll hopefully go back. They remind me on Sunday to try to finish up the Ramah. We left the Ramah hanging from yesterday's Sugya. Okay, and then Monday, so we'll try to start some stuff.